It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
We're at the midway point of the 2018 season. Certainly an impressive year so far for the Princeton Tigers. 5-0, ranked 18th in the FCS coaches poll, 23rd in the media poll, set to travel to Harvard this Saturday for a noon kickoff at Harvard Stadium. Welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister. I'm Cody Kruschel, joined as always by Tigers head coach Bob Cerace. Bob, week six, welcome.
Good to see you again, Cody.
Should probably turn your mic up.
Good to see you again, Cody.
5-0 heading up to Harvard. We go back to last week, improving the 2-0 in Ivy League play, 48-10 against Brown. That victory. Start with Kevin Davidson, first career start. He goes 26 of 39, 299 yards, four touchdowns. We've been hearing a lot about Kevin Davidson since his freshman year. We see him in practice. We've seen some small sample sizes, but really looked like he was ready to seize that opportunity, made some impressive throws.
Yeah, and he was so composed with running the offense and getting us into the right checks, making the right reads, and doing a great job with the protections. And not just his ability to throw the ball, but his maturity as a quarterback really showed throughout the game.
It's a gutsy play call. First play of the ball game, 39 yards down the sideline.
Yeah, anybody, and you've seen him, he throws the ball so well and throws the ball so well down the field that you're taking advantage of a strength of his.
Kevin getting the start last week, not sure with John Lovett. How have you kind of handled practice this week with the quarterback position and making sure that Kevin is ready if his name's called?
Yeah, well, we always do that, and there's always competition. I think it's in so many of our positions has allowed guys to reach a better level in their play, and some of them right now are backups, but they're competing every day, and they want to do more and get more. You know, we got our running backs here today who really share the carries and share the bulk of the load, and it forces them to become better football players.
Lead me into my next question. You look at the advantages of jumping out to early leads, which you guys have all five games this year, getting younger guys on the field, getting some upperclassmen who maybe haven't had a ton of game reps into the game, also keeping starters fresh. We look at your starter, Charlie Volker. His season high in carries has been 14. You've really been able to spread out that workload in the backfield.
Yeah, well, we went in the year knowing that we have quality backs. And when they're healthy, we can play, two, three, four guys and spread it out. And, certainly Charlie's gotten the bulk of them. But, Colin and Ryan and, Trey Gray and Tyler Campbell have all performed very well.
Look at Princeton this year, the nation's number one scoring offense, 45-plus points in each of the first five games this season. Number two scoring defense. Talked a lot about your running backs and sort of spreading out the workload. One guy who we saw score his first career touchdown to cap the scoring Saturday, Tyler Campbell, kind of an interesting story. You recruited him as a defensive back.
Yeah, he played both sides of the football in high school, and we had him in camp, and Coach Salgado was our defensive back coach and really liked him, and it's rare. That position's so hard to play physically, and we thought that would be a great spot for him. And then his time, he was so athletic, we've moved him around a little bit. He started this year at wide receiver, and looking ahead to the future without a Jesper and Carlson and Parkinson and Argue, who are some of the young guys who could do that? And then when a couple injuries happened in camp, we moved him over there back to his natural position in high school, and he's done very well.
Talked a lot about the offense. Let's focus on the defense. The offense gets a lot of the credit, and they get a lot of the publicity, but defensively, hasn't allowed more than 10 points in the first five games of the season. Mark Fassati this week, 12 tackles plus a sack, Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week. You have vocal leaders. You have leaders by example. You have guys who are intense, guys who keep it light. I kind of get the impression that Mark Fassati checks a lot of those boxes.
Yeah, he checks every box. We had him here a few weeks ago. He's such a dynamic personality. He loves playing football. He loves practicing football. He's great on campus. He's a well-respected member of the student body. And, he just does such a great job with everything. And I've really enjoyed, this fifth year gave me an extra semester with him, and I enjoy every day with him.
Defensively, a lot of guys you finished 2017 without. One of those guys, Matt Hampson, you get him back into the rotation this past Saturday. Three tackles and another guy who just worked really hard to get back out there and just adds to that depth.
Yeah, it's just devastating the work these guys put in when they have an injury, and the rehab process is very lonely. And they're with our trainers and the members, and you know, you work with John Bullis, and you know, Reagan does such a great job in the rehab part of things, and you know, they go unnoticed, the training staff and the medical staff, and Matt's had to spend a lot of lonely hours with them. And to see him make strides during camp and then in the early part of the season, you know, continue to make strides to where he was fully cleared to play, and it was nice to get him back in there.
C.J. Wall's been out the past couple of weeks, so you plug in Matthew Winston and Christian Brown, and that seems to have worked out pretty well, really just building the depth in the backfield. So, sort of, you know, give us your impression of those two guys, two youngsters who have had a chance to kind of grow on the job at that cornerback position opposite DeLon.
Yeah, no, we were committed to playing our depth, and we were rolling guys in early in the season, and, you know, the scores, you know, dictated we could get guys in even more than we anticipated, and both Christian and Matthew have performed admirably. They both play the ball well. They both are terrific athletes, and give us a little more size, you know, at corner.
You know, we'll sit down with some of the corners a little bit later, but you know, you look at a guy like Matthew Winston, and you have a lot of guys on this team that come from quote-unquote football families. You know, Matthew Winston, you look at his football background and his father. Does that make the recruiting process a little bit different?
The good thing was, and Jim Salgado was still with us, and Jim grew up a little bit with his dad. Jim went to Hofstra, and the New York Jets used to be at Hofstra. So Jim knew Kevin Winston, Matthew's dad, which gave us an in, at least, in the communication and relationship building. And then Jim left for a job with the Buffalo Bills of the NFL right as Matthew committed. And Jim, instead of just leaving and taking the job, how first class he is, Jim and I flew out to see Matthew and Kevin and his family and just be upfront with them that Jim's going to take this job. And, you know, Matthew, like these other guys, they commit to the university and they commit to our program, our education, our values, and everything we're doing. And we were very, you know, fortunate to get in the beginning with, you know, Jim's relationship. But, you know, as we got in and Matthew and his family learned about Princeton, you know, made the choice really good one for him.
Talked a ton about John Lovett. We just touched on Kevin Davidson. You look at some of the just really impressive stats on this team, and one that jumps off the page for me, Zach Keller, your third-string quarterback this year, 12 for 12. That's not easy to do when you're not seeing the field consistently.
Yeah, no, we expect our guys. Like, I'm a big Carmelo Anthony fan, but when a guy starts crying about coming off the bench, come on. Like, at some point you come off the bench, right? You don't play 48 minutes. You got to be able to do that. And I expect our guys to come in and do that. And that's how Zach practices. Every day when he gets his reps, he's prepared and ready. And that's our guy's mindset. And you have to have that mindset if you're going to be successful. And as I said that, Coach Matunga is a huge Knicks fan. So he might be mad at me right now.
Midway point of the season, heading into week six, you guys are 5-0, and you've talked about it all along. It's great to go undefeated through the non-conference slate and win by 35 points every game, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you guys slip up, there is a whole host of teams that are a game back in the Ivy League and going to always come down to the final couple of weeks. You know, sort of give us the scouting report. You're at the midway point as a coach. I know you'll talk about too many penalties and things like that. Through five games, how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I love watching tennis when they get to the major championships. And what you got to do, the Federers and Serena Williams and Nadals, they hold serve. And you got to be focused on the week at hand and hold serve. And our guys have been very focused. They've been very disciplined. They're giving a great effort. Every week is bigger than the next because the opponent is better. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But, you know, we're going to have our hands full with a tremendous team. But what we have to do is focus on our preparation and ourselves. And as I just told them when we left practice, put blinders on and play to how we've been prepared.
Running backs edition of the show, Charlie Volker, busy tonight. couldn't join us.
Yeah, he has class, and
it's a good
excuse.
Know,
I, you know, they shouldn't be missing class, especially we're in midterms right now. So he's at class, but you know, it's next man up. So, you know, Ryan and Colin have done a great job on the field when it's been their turn, and they'll do a great job tonight.
Talk a little bit about them. Ryan Quigley, a junior, Colin Eady, a sophomore, two guys who sort of add different dimensions to your offense, and then you pair them up with Charlie.
Yeah, the great thing, they just have great personalities, great attitudes. The finish of our runs this year has been outstanding, no matter who's had the ball in their hands. Our finish of our runs has been outstanding. And I remember, you know, we were at camp, and Ryan dropped a pass, and I told him, you know, it's not just running back. You have to be able to do everything. And, he, you know, I got great hands. And he catches the ball exceptionally well. He's had as good hands as anybody that we've had here out of the backfield. And he's such a slasher in the way he runs and gets his shoulders forward and leans. And, you know, you watch Colin. He is so graceful, such great feet and vision and power and such a good combination. And I really think our guys have complemented each other. They push each other every day in practice and in meetings. And, you know, they know that we're playing a defense that hasn't given up a lot of rushing yards, so it's a big week.
Princeton back on the road at Harvard for the second straight season. It'll be a noon kickoff this Saturday up in Cambridge at Harvard Stadium. Time to take our first break. When we get back, we'll sit down with a pair of players out of the backfield for the Tigers. Junior Ryan Quigley, sophomore Colin Eady. This is the Bob Saray Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Saray Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Sarays. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's the week 6 edition of the Bob Saray Show here at the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton, New Jersey. Cody Cruchel joined by two of Princeton's running backs, junior Ryan Quigley, sophomore Colin Eady. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Ryan, a junior running back, let's go back to this past week, and you caught a touchdown in that 48-10 win against Brown, and Coach Race talked about that's one of those things you really take pride in, being a really good pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yeah, I've always taken great pride in how, you know, being a threat out of the backfield. I played a lot of receiver in high school, played defensive back as well, so I played receiver and running back as well, because we ran a little bit more of a different offense, a spread offense. So I run the ball, and I also catch the ball, and I take great pride in both.
Talk about the receiving game. You're on the field with him in practice, but were you surprised at all at how well Kevin Davidson played last week? First career start, you go 39 yards to open it, 299 yards, four touchdowns. Didn't really have any drop-off going from a former Ivy League player of the year.
Yeah, I'm actually not surprised at all. Kevin Davidson is one of the hardest players we have on our team. He's always in the meeting rooms, watching extra film, getting in there day in and day out. And he's my roommate, so I know how hard he works, how bad he wants it. And he brings it to practice every day. You see him throw certain balls in practice, and he's just got a cannon of an arm. So I wasn't surprised at all, and I'm very happy for him that he did so well.
You know, you guys in the running game, you look at it yourself, and it's, you know, Charlie Volker and you, Colin. Sort of three different styles. Kind of walk us through that dynamic in the running back room. And it's also interesting because you have Charlie, a senior, you're a junior, you're a sophomore, your fourth leading rusher, Trey Gray, he's a freshman, yep. So you kind of have all four classes covered.
I would say it's pretty cool, like, to be able to, we kind of by committee, although Charlie is definitely like the leader, like, of the group. Charlie, definitely when he's in, he's more like the speedster, like when you get him in open space, like last couple of games, just watch him like flying by safeties, like that take decent pursuits, but he's like flying by them. My style is a little more like between the tackles. Like, I mean, I don't mind running somebody over. Charlie's the faster one of all of the running backs. So, I'll throw a stiff arm, try to get past the safety or something, but he's just running right by him. But, and then Ryan's like very versatile, like out of the backfield. So he's definitely another addition, like, to our group. He's probably got the best hands out of anybody in the group. That's without a doubt. But
we always have that argument. But we all have great hands, and what I think we do best is we all complement each other. You know,
yep.
So we all push each other, like Coach said, and we always, you know, we work hard in the meeting rooms and lifts and practice or whatever it may be to make sure that we're successful day in yep. and day out. So whatever it may be and whatever our role is, we take great pride in it just so we can get a W at the end of the day.
Exactly, whatever helps the team.
Yeah, looking it up today, and you look at it, normally you see a running back, you know, your top running back has 20, 25 carries in a game if you're going to end up winning that one. I think in the opener against Butler, Charlie had 14, he's had 13, and he's had 12. For the most part, it's been, you know, you have 6 carries and you have 7 carries and Charlie has 8 or 9. You know, how do you kind of develop into that role? Because in high school, you guys are carrying the bulk of the workload, and then you come here, and it really is this kind of split committee.
Yeah. I mean, things change as life goes on. High school is different, and this is college football, and we just we're doing what we're told, and we're practicing what's in front of us. So we run such a fast-paced offense and a no-huddle operation, and that's why, you know, we're putting, you know, so many points up on the board, and we have to continue to do so. So we can rotate guys in that know the playbook, know what they're doing, and have fresh legs coming off the bench, play in and play out, no matter who's in there. We know the playbook no matter what everybody's doing, and we can watch each other from the sidelines when others are in, so we can keep rotating and keep legs fresh, and so we can be efficient on every play.
Kylan, I'll throw this one to you because you're only a year removed from your freshman season. Is that the biggest challenge coming in here with this offense, just the number of plays and the speed at which you guys play as far as getting acclimated?
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely made a big jump from freshman year to this year, especially just like because in high school my playbook was we ran I formation, so it was sweep right, sweep left, mid zone, so it was pretty simple. We might have passed the ball like 5 times a game, but here like you got to know what your assignment, like pass protection, who to block, and it's all within a matter of like between each snap. You might have 15 seconds like between getting the signals and lining up and getting ready to go. And with all that being said, you got to see the defense, see what they're doing because they're moving around. Doing a bunch of different things. So the transition definitely last year was definitely tough, but I will say having Chad last year was definitely a big help, and John this year even more so of a help. So the transition between last year to this year has been pretty big, and I've noticed that myself, and I'm able to play a lot faster and just more confident. So I really enjoy football this year.
You know, Ryan, you're at a Lansdale Catholic outside of Philadelphia, so you didn't venture too far from home when you came here to Princeton.
That's right.
I know it was a couple of years ago. Walk us through that recruiting process, sort of how did you end up here and why was this the right fit?
So I came to Princeton. I was getting recruited by a bunch of the, you know, schools that are like Princeton, a bunch of the Ivy Leagues, Patriot League schools, schools in the area, and I came to a visit. Never forget my first time here. It was a recruiting visit with Coach Ulrich, and it was great. I mean, I thought it was a beautiful campus. It was a nice fall day, and then the coaches actually had the chance to come to one of my games that fall, and came to a visit, and I actually just came to one of the spring practices as well, and I thought the guys were great. My official visit was great, and I never felt like a culture. The culture here was a lot different than anywhere else and the other schools I was looking at, so. Yeah. I also wanted to be close to home. That was the main factor for me. My parents can come to a lot of the games. I'm very close to my family, so I can go home. So, I mean, it felt like a right place. I mean, you can't beat a place like Princeton, and it has so many things to offer outside of football. And the football is very competitive level. And I mean, I love it here, and I couldn't have asked for a better place to end up at. So, you know, things are great, and I'm loving it.
Outside of football, a history major, and we were talking before we went on air during the break, kind of an interesting internship that still let you be on campus to stay in football shape over the summer.
Yes, sir. That's the main thing is I wanted to be here this summer to work out, to get my workouts in, to make sure we had a successful season. And we are so far, and we got to keep it going one game at a time. But I think we had the highest percentage of offensive guys during the summer this year than I think we've ever had, as one of our coaches said. But, yeah, it was nice to get an internship for 6 to 8 weeks on campus while working out with the team. And it just builds the relationships. You know, people go all over the country, let alone the world, you know, once you're out of here at 22 years old. So, and then, but you build relationships. And I feel like that 3 months really helps the relationships build with your friends as you're living with them during the summer off campus. So I really enjoyed my time here during the summer. And I just think, It really helped the team, and the statistics that we learned from our coaches are really, you know, a factor and show on the field so far this year.
You know, when you're here over the summer, what is the biggest advantage? Is it what you're doing on the field, or is it just that time away from the field and living with guys and kind of sort of being that more tightly knit community on campus?
I'm going to say both. Like, I stay with guys in the summer, and definitely just, like, making the bonds that I did, definitely, like, when I get on the field, I trust those guys a lot more because, you know, we wake up 6 a.m. workouts, and they're doing the same thing I'm doing. Like, they're busting their butts. So, you know, it's definitely a great feeling. Like, those guys put in the work, too, so you can trust that they're gonna do their job. They're going to hold up their end of the bargain so we can just go out there and play football.
Ryan Quigley and Callanini. We'll take our second break here on the Bob Serratia Show. Guys, stick around. We'll catch up with you a little bit more, Callan, after the break.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
This is the Bob Serratia Show. This is Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Back to the Alchemist and Barrister after this.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Serratia Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Serratia, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Serratia Show every Thursday night. Join us here each week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out their menus online at theanb.com. Segment number two, back with a backfield duo here, Ryan Quigley, Colin Eady. And Ryan, we kind of talked about your recruiting journey in the last segment. Colin, you're from Raleigh, North Carolina. Walk us through your process. How did you end up here at Princeton?
Well, Princeton, they started talking to me back in the spring at the end of my junior year. That's when I really started to pick up my recruitment. It's kind of funny because I'd heard of Yale and Princeton, but I'd never actually heard of, I mean, Yale and Harvard, I'd never heard of Princeton actually until they
really?
Came and talked to me. Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny that I ended up here, you know, I kind of was a late decision. Like, you know, most people commit like the February 1st, is the big like signing day, like, and I didn't commit to like January 25th, but you know, I went to a lot of different places, had a lot of offers, but like coming here, I got to interact with a lot of the guys, like Jeremiah Tyler was my host, so I had a great time when I was here. And just seeing how they interact with each other, it's just like a different level of like intellect compared to some of the other places I went. And I really value, like, it's like a higher level of, you know, of guys here, and I really appreciated that.
So did you literally just go on Wikipedia and throw Princeton University?
Yeah, that was my first time ever, like, here. And I was like, where's Princeton? Like, I had no idea where they were. But, like, my dad went to Temple, and he played high school football at Matty Whalen. So the team captain here, I don't remember what year, but we played together. So he would come from Temple and hang out with Mr. Maddie in Princeton. So he definitely was in my ear, like, hey, like, maybe let's go check it out. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go give this a shot. And came here, I fell in love, and I was like, this is definitely the place I can see myself for 4 years.
You talked about Jeremiah Tyler being your host, and with him not here last year away from the team, I see him this year. I get the feeling that nobody is happier to be on the field this year than Jeremiah Tyler.
We spend so much time together on and off the field, offense, defense, it doesn't matter. Anytime I can be with him, I am, you know. He loves football. He loves what he does. And, you know, we all, like, he's just like this energy on the field. Like, we love his energy. Everyone feeds off of it. And, you know, when you have that one guy that's just, like, always lively all the time, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, let's just do this. Like, everyone's hype, and they all just go out there, and we're all out there playing football and enjoying what we do.
Princeton-Harvard this weekend, 5-0 Princeton on the road for the second straight year at Harvard. It's not normally where you make back-to-back trips to play one Ivy League school, but that happens this year. And, Colin, we go back to last year. That was sort of the game where we saw, okay, this is what Colin Eady can do. 10 carries, 83 yards, a 32-yard touchdown under the lights, national TV, NBC Sports Network. What do you remember about that game?
Well, I remember just walking out onto the field. I was like, it was a really cool like place to play in, a really cool stadium. It's definitely one of a kind. And then just being on the field, like, they're a really good team, especially last year. I mean, the score might not say so, but they were definitely really stout. And even so this year when you watch the film, they are. But being out there, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of euphoric, like, run that touchdown I had last year. And actually, Mr. Matty Whalen and my dad and a couple of his high school buddies, they have the reunion every Harvard year, or every year we play Harvard. So they were on the sideline after I came, and I'm running down, like, the sideline, coming onto to the bench, and they're patting my head, and the dad's hugging me. They're on the sideline. So it definitely was a pretty cool experience. So probably won't be anything like it, you know, but let's say that first one, you know, it's pretty cool.
You mentioned your father played at Temple. I also read he was the first person to ever be a scholarship football player while also earning his master's at Temple. Get the feeling that growing up in your household, there was an emphasis on football, but also they made sure you did your schoolwork.
Exactly. That's part of the reason why I ended up here, you know, just in case, like, football. You know, my parents always said, like, football is a means to an end, but, you know, there's always something that needs to follow it up. Just like a lot of the guys here, they have the same, like, ambitions that I have and the same, like, same response to picking a school that I had. Like, like you get the best of both worlds. You're still playing really great football, which is pairing with all like the Ivy League, like NFL draft picks that we have, and then also getting this great of an education. So, you know, why not get the best of both worlds? That's how I ended up at a school like here.
You mentioned a sociology major and then some plans when you're done with football.
Yep. I'd like to go to law school. I think I want to do corporate law, but, you know, what law, I guess, that was my first idea. But what law after law school I'd like to do, kind of undecided, but I kind of already know, like, the route I want to go. That's where I'm headed, so.
Pretty good when you're a sophomore and you have some direction.
Exactly. I think that's the big thing, because a lot of people don't have any idea, but I guess if I have the idea where I want to go, you know, it's better than not having anything at all, I guess.
Going back to your dad for a second, did I see he had a cameo on the TV show Sleepy Hollow?
Yeah.
A couple years ago?
Yeah, he did. And actually, he's still getting like a lot of royalties from it. He's a big acting voiceover. He does a lot of different things. You know, he was a psychologist. That was part of his degree at Temple. But he does acting on the side. So it's a little passion he has. So, yeah, he did have a cameo.
Let's focus on your opponent this weekend. You're at the midway point, 5-0, and Coach Sarace has talked about it. It's great to get those non-conference wins, but, you know, at the end of the day, it always comes down to the final couple of games in the Ivy League. You know, you guys look at it this year. Your closest victory has been 35 points. How do you go out there and kind of stay level and put your head down, watch the film, go through the motions, and prepare for the next week, knowing how well you guys, you know, how much success you've had?
We like to look at it, you know, we're 0-0 right now. You know, we take one game at a time, and once we're done with that game, we're on to the next opponent. You know, every game right now is basically a championship game in the Ivy League. So we're looking at Harvard, and, you know, it's very good because, like, one after a game, and then right after we're done with Harvard on that Sunday, when we're done with our corrections and watching the game film, You know, we're on to Cornell. We're on our next opponent. So we take our film very seriously, our practice very seriously, and we're focused on one opponent and one opponent only at that time. So, you know, yeah, we've had great success, but we're not, you know, and we're going to feed off that success, but we're not complacent. Coach always talks about that grounded confidence that we have. So
don't take the cheese.
Don't take the cheese. So we're very confident where we're at, but we're not done. We're not done until November 17th or 16th when we're done. Playing Penn at our home field. So we like to look at each game one at a time and take each practice one by one, each play one by one, and, you know, it all goes down to, you know, the meeting room. So we're taking everyone one by one, and we're just feeding off the success we've had, and not to really take the cheese, is like what Coach likes to say.
Watching film, what is the challenge Harvard presents? This is always a really tough defense.
Yeah, they're a very tough defense. They're
super physical. Yeah,
they got physical D line, and they're great rushing, run stopping defense. But, you know, we're gonna challenge them. We're gonna hopefully, do our best to run, run them off the field. So we're gonna do what we can do, and, you know, we're just gonna keep doing what we can, what we have been doing, and hopefully, you know, we do the right things. And we got a good game plan this week to, succeed and thrive against them. So we're going to do what we can do, but, you know, they're definitely a physical defense, and we're gonna see what we can do.
Guys, good talking to you. Good luck Saturday.
Thanks so much. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having us.
Ryan Quigley, Calanini, back after this on the Bob Surrey Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Surrey Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister, with Princeton football head coach Bob Surrace and Cody Cruchell on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Surrey Show every Thursday night. Join us each week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out the menus at theanb.com. Back with the Week 6 edition, and it's a running backs edition, joined by Princeton running backs coach Jamel Matunga. Jamel, good catching up with you.
Thanks for having me, Cody.
We talked to a couple of the guys in your backfield. Charlie Volker couldn't be here tonight. Ryan Quigley, Colin Eady. Kind of, you look at this group, and it seems like they each bring something different to the table. Give us kind of the breakdown, you know, for people. We see them on film. We see them from the stands. But kind of give us the breakdown. What does Charlie do? What does Ryan do? What does Colin do?
Absolutely. They all have different talents, and they all – can produce and do the same things that each guy does, but they definitely change the dynamic. And for defense, it's something different. You know, each guy comes in, it's like, okay, what is this guy in for? And the best part of it is they're all super fresh. You know, you were talking earlier about how
some guys, you know, this week he had 6 carries, the next week he had 7. So they're all really fresh, and that's the exciting part about going into the future of this season. You know, hopefully we get a little bit of different matchups where we got to play them a little bit longer. But, yeah, each guy brings a different thing to the table. And from a game planning standpoint as a coach, it's awesome because each guy has different strengths, and you try to put them in the best position to be successful. You know, I think the funnest thing is having multiple guys on the field at once and really mess with the defense. So,
kind of, you know, when you guys are 5-0 and you're ranked and you're the number one scoring and total offense, there's a lot of fun stats that we kind of pull out of this. And I think we looked at it. Tyler Campbell, who's your 6th leading rusher, would be the leading rusher on one other Ivy League team. That flexibility has to allow you to do some different things where you're not sending one guy out there and getting 25 or 30 carries, and you are staying fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we really live by the next man up mentality in our room. And, you know, our goal going into the season is to be the best running back room in the country. And, you know, you look at some other programs, it's one guy doing it all. But these guys take pride in being multiple guys doing it. So, you know, at the end of the day, when, you know, we get to November, whenever that is, you know, we'll see where we stack up. But, you know, these guys are having fun. And, you know, like I said, the fresher they are, the harder they can go in. And they're really competing with each other on Saturdays. You know, the best part is those guys are helping each other out and, you know, just communicating and telling, you know, each other what they're seeing and, you know, what decisions they made. And, you know, so these guys are a lot of fun, you know.
It's your 2nd year here, so you haven't been here for all of his 4 years, and I know it got called back because of a flag. What was going through your mind on the sideline when Dominique Somerville gets into the end zone a couple weeks back?
Oh, it was awesome. It was the epitome of just the hard work that he's put in over the 4 years. You know, he's 5'6", 160 pounds, and, you know, he scored on the playoff team defense. So, you know, it was really exciting, and, you know, it's a special thing, and we're going to keep trying. Hopefully we can get him back in there at some point this season. So,
talked a lot about Charlie and Ryan and Colin. We've seen a lot of Trey Gray this year. You have a senior, a junior, a sophomore, and a freshman as your 4 leading rushers from the running back position. I know you guys really like what Trey brings to the table.
Absolutely. It's funny because, you know, he's very, you know, he's a smaller guy, but he runs like Le'Veon Bell. You know, he's very patient. He sees it really well. I think he has the best eyes naturally. And it was just funny because he's a little smaller in stature. You know, you see Le'Veon Bell kind of tippy-toeing and then bursting through the hole. And then, you know, Trey Gray runs that same way. It's just he's a little bit smaller.
Speaking of running backs, let's talk a bit about you and your journey here. Gettysburg College graduated 3rd on their career rushing touchdown list. I think you had a 5-touchdown game in your career. What do you remember about that one?
Not a ton. I remember in that game, you know, it was – We scored a lot of points. We had a lot of fun. That was just kind of our deal. You know, and just that day it happened to be me. You know, our offense in college, it was, you know, next, you know, who's going to score it? We don't know who's going to do it each day, but we knew we were going to score a lot of points, and it just that day was my number. So
Gettysburg, you graduate, a couple of other college coaching stops, and now in your 2nd season at Princeton. Walk us through your journey from graduation. Did you know that you wanted to get into coaching while you were playing, or did you just kind of fall into it?
I did not. So right after school, you know, I had a great job, and, you know, I found myself every Saturday getting up and watching every single college football game, including Division III games, my passion. And, you know, it was something my mom said, why don't you coach? And I'm like, no way. There's no way I want to coach. And she's, you know, it was one of those things where it's like you got to take a shot and, you know, see if you like it. And, you know, I called up my college head coach, who just recently retired after 36 seasons. And, you know, he helped me out with finding some opportunities. And, you know, I tried it out, and I just fell in love with it. So, you know, my first job, I coached at Muhlenberg College, which was a rival of mine while I played. I coached the tight ends there, which was, you know, extremely helpful for me in my coaching career as far as learning the ins and outs of run game blocking, but also, you know, the passing game. So from there, I ended up at Lehigh University, where, you know, it was kind of up and down bumps, and, you know, I ended up recruiting a freshman who turned into a really good player for me, got him on the field as, you know, as a freshman. He was first team All-League Rookie of the Year.
Dom Bragalone?
Yeah. You know, just guys that worked extremely hard, and, you know, really at that point in my career, just his hard work made me want to work even harder for these guys. And, you know, getting here to Princeton, it's the, you know, the same group of type, you know, same group of guys. You know, they're all a little different, but they all work extremely hard. And, you know, their hard work, you know, from really December 1st, right after, you know, we get back from Thanksgiving until, you know, the end of the season, just inspires me to continue and help them get better every day.
We heard that same story last week from Mike Willis when he was here, and we were talking to Cody Smith and Graham Adamitis. You know, graduated, had a desk job, quickly realized, I kind of missed this football thing. And I feel like that's kind of a common story among coaches.
Absolutely, absolutely. You do have to have a passion for it. You know, just the hours you put in, you know, you're going to miss a lot of important events in your family's lives and things like that. But, you know, you got to love it to do it. And it's just no different than when you're playing college football. You have to love it to be successful. So it's just one of those things that, you know, I love it and I would never look back. And, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity that I have here.
You go from a Lehigh offense. I think you guys were the sixth highest scoring team in the country your final season there in 2016. Princeton that 2016 season was the top scoring team in the Ivy League. You come in and you guys were able to duplicate that last year. But is there pressure there knowing I'm coming in here, we have an all-conference running back, we have a lot of depth, this is a team that scores a lot of points. You know, I need to do my job.
No pressure. you know, just one of those things, just to, you know, do what I do. I think Coach hired the right guy, you know, when I came in. So, yeah, I wouldn't say there was any pressure. Just I love, you know, working and, you know, trying to outdo ourselves each week. That's what we're doing right now. It's, you know, what schemes and what plays can we put together just to continue to keep the guys rolling and having fun and, you know, really mess with defenses. I like scoring touchdowns.
Going from Chad Knopf last year to John Lovett this year, how does that change the roles of the running backs? Ryan and Colin were talking about just kind of obviously what John brings to the table and what Chad brings to the table, and they're both successful quarterbacks, but they both do it a different way. Having John out there versus Chad, does that change the running back position at all?
Absolutely. We love it. there's more eyes on John than there was eyes on Chad in the run game, so I think, you know, on run downs, you know, the picture for us is a little bit better than it was last year, where teams kind of really keyed on us in the run game last year. Now that John's there, they got to, you know, really respect him. You know, but it's all, you know, it goes back and forth. Chad, you know, in the passing game, it's like all eyes were on him a little bit. And so, it's been fun because I think the guys are starting to realize, you know, how offenses can change based on one individual. You know, and how they can be successful in it regardless. So,
how tough is that as a coaching staff? Because you hear a lot about coaches and they come in and they run a system and they have a style, and it seems like, you know, yourself and the rest of the offensive assistants and Sean Gleason, your coordinator, you guys do a good job of kind of molding the game plan to the personnel.
Absolutely. That's how we do things. You know, we create plays based on players. Get the best players or get our players the ball in the best position for them. You know, and that's what makes it exciting. And I think it makes us better coaches, trying to figure out how do we mix and match guys and, you know, do different things to change it up.
However, this weekend, noon on Saturday, give us the scouting report on the Crimson defense.
They're top 10 in the country in rushing defense, and it's a challenge that we've been waiting for. You know, each year this is a big one for us because, you know, they're kind of labeled as the top running back crew in the Ivy League. And so, you know, we want to be that. And, you know, I think we are, but it's always great when you can prove it on the field, you know, when the whistle blows. So, now we're really excited, and, you know, they might have had this one circled on their calendars, but I'm pretty sure we've had it circled on our calendars too. So,
looking forward to it. Jamel, thanks for a few minutes, and good luck Saturday.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's Princeton football running backs coach Jamel Matunga back with the Princeton head coach Bob Sorace after this. This is the Bob Sorace Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Sorace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach Bob Sorace on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Five games down, five in the win column, five to go, all in Ivy League play. Back to wrap it up here before the Tigers take on Harvard on Saturday, a noon kickoff up in Cambridge. Cody Cruchel, Bob Sorace. Coach, we just talked to Jamel Matunga, your running backs coach, and he said he wants to have the best running backs room in the country, and you know, he's trending in that direction. Kind of take us back. Did you know Jamel before you brought him on? I imagine you were at least familiar because he was at Lehigh, and you guys play Lehigh most years.
I didn't know him personally at all. I had such great respect for Lehigh offense. Obviously, you know, we just played the prolific running back from Lehigh that Jamel brought there and coached up and was unbelievable under his tutelage his first 2 years. And so there's this great respect. So when he applied, you know, we kind of made a big recruiting pitch to get him up here and interview him.
This Saturday on the road at Harvard for the second straight year. That's a result of shuffling the Ivy League schedule, and now you wrap up with Penn, and Dartmouth moves up a couple of weeks. Back-to-back years on the road at Harvard, a little bit strange.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get another two-movie day on the bus tomorrow and get ourselves, enjoy ourselves on a nice fall afternoon on the ride up.
As long as it's not a three-movie day.
Yeah, it's not going to be a three-movie day. We won't hit a lot of traffic, hopefully, on that. But, yeah, who knows? We just play the schedule it's given us. And I have nothing to do with it. It makes no sense to me, but that's what the schedule is. It is a historic place, historic stadium. There'll be a great atmosphere. And, you know, these guys sacrifice a lot. They sacrifice their summers. They're up in the morning every day. And they do it to play this team, you know, talented team, well-coached team, you know, tremendous organization, a lot of success. Those are the reasons they sacrifice. And, you know, it's always fun as a competitor to see how good you are and test your skill.
Some of the coolest photos and video we get is when you guys are coming out of the tunnel and it's Mark Fassati or Tom Johnson and they're swaying back and forth. Is that kind of weird at Harvard when you're coming out single file out of that little cubby hole and you have to duck underneath?
Yeah, it is. You know, it is what it is when you're going through. You know, they put you in a trailer, you know, and then you go through this little tunnel, and then you're in this beautiful stadium in a great environment, and we'll have a lot of fans there. They'll have a real lot of fans there, and you know, as an Ivy League athlete, there's nothing better than seeing how good you are, and this will be that test.
Harvard 3-2 coming off a win Friday night against Holy Cross. The field goal is time expired. Princeton, your narrowest win has been 35 points. That was at Columbia. Harvard, each of their last three games decided by one score. So, A team that's battle-tested, and B, a team that probably remembers what happened when you guys met last year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, in 1989, Judd Garrett threw a pass on the first play, and we scored a touchdown to Scott Gibbs. And these guys, you know, they live in a Twitter world. What happened 24 hours ago is gone. It's a new year. There's new players. Guys have developed. There's new schemes. At the end of the day, when the ball's kicked off, the score's 0-0. We get no bonus points. When they beat us up, you know, a couple years in a row, they got no bonus points. It started 0-0. And it's two, I think, really good teams. I hope we are. We'll find out. But I know on their end, you know, they are a tremendously coached. You love what they're doing schematically. You love the talent. You know, we got our running backs here. This is the best group of running backs in my 9 years that Harvard's had. It is deep. You know, they're the first team All-Ivy running back from last year is running third string, second string. You know, and they got four guys who are averaging a ton of yards a carry.
You know that, and then when we talked to you earlier this week, you mentioned the offensive line. This is a big group of guys, and they're never on the ground.
Yeah, they play with a base. They're so well coached. They open up holes. They are a strong physical group with that. They spread the field with athletes at receiver. And their quarterback played outstanding last week. It was his first start this year, and he had composure. He was accurate. And when the game was on the line, he made some throws under duress, guy right in his face twice, that were just A-plus throws.
It's Tom Stewart, their senior quarterback. Jake Smith, the sophomore who was their starter last year, has started a couple this year. You know, when you're going into a game, are those guys similar enough where it doesn't really affect your preparation, or does it change things when you don't know who's going to be back
there? Yeah, they're both athletic. Obviously, last year we went against Jake Smith, so there's some familiarity from seeing him on the field. But, you know, a couple years ago, Tom Stewart had started, so we were able to watch him when he was a sophomore. Obviously, we've been able to watch him this year, and, you know, he's been nothing short of impressive with what he did last week.
sort of beat it into the ground this season, the guys who you have back on defense who weren't out there last year for Harvard. Jordan Hill wasn't with the program last year. He missed the season. He's really that cog in the middle of their defense.
Yeah, the two defensive tackles are going to be all-league players, no doubt about it, guys. And he's another one that's going to be an all-league player, no doubt about it. They are skilled. They are tough. They are strong in that front seven. And the thing they have is depth. They will roll in, you know, on their front seven, not only two deep, in some cases three deep, and there's no drop-off. And we've learned from that. We're trying to get to that point where we can do that defensively and have really tried to do that early in the year with our front seven.
Heading into Brown last week, you talked about when you got here and looking at Phil Estes up at Brown and what he's been able to do. You look at Harvard and Tim Murphy, it seems like nothing really flashy about what they do. They've just been this really consistent program. You said you take some things from what Brown did when you first got here. Can you look at Tim Murphy and what they've been able to do? Have you been able to take some of that and bring it down here?
Yeah, he was so kind to me when I first got here. We went through two seasons where we were not successful in the outcomes, and he grabbed me at league meetings and said, you know, you got to build a foundation, keep doing what you're doing, you know. And I went back, and I didn't really get what he was saying at the time, because what we're doing is going 1-9. That wasn't very fun. And at that point, I wasn't getting the process and growth and those things. And then you look at his history and his first group of, you know, 5-7 years, they won a championship and mixed in world seasons where they weren't over 500 and they weren't as successful as he'd like them to be. And then they hit right before 2000 and they take off, and they haven't had a season where there's been regrets. They've been championship. We're playing for the championship year in, year out, and that's a credit to their organization and him.
You spent the better part of a decade with the Bengals in Cincinnati before Tim Murphy got to Harvard. He spent 5 years as the head coach at Cincinnati. Do you guys kind of have some kind of connection because you spent time out there?
I guess Skyline Chili. he was there.
That's about it.
He was there before I was there. I've never actually discussed that with him, but next league meetings we'll have something to talk about where the hot spot's going to be. But, I think the bigger connection, he's been an institution there for a long time and has such respect for this league. And, my time goes back to 1986 with the league and with a long break in between, but we have such respect for, you know, the athletes and the sacrifices they make and what they do to choose our institutions, like the young men that talked to you tonight, over scholarship programs and making these mature decisions. Why 17, 18 year olds making lifelong decisions to go to the best colleges in the country?
Princeton at Harvard, noon on Saturday up in Cambridge, and you can check GoPrincetonTigers.com for TV and radio information. Coach, let's do it again next week.
Absolutely, and I hope everybody doesn't make it up there and listens to you on radio, because you are the best there.
We appreciated myself and Craig Saxon on the call this coming Saturday on the Princeton IMG Sports Network. Thanks to our guests tonight, Ryan Quigley, Kalanidi, Jamel Matunga, and, of course, Bob Cerace, and then thank you, as always, to David Fenster back in the studio making sure the show gets on the air and sounds good. So for everybody that joined us today, my name's Cody Cruchel saying so long. We'll talk to you Saturday up in Cambridge. This is the Bob Cerace Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.